UEFA when ready.
Yo, listen up, here's the story about a little guy that lives in a blue world, and all day and all night, and everything he sees is just blue, like him inside and out.
Some Star Wars fans are a little blue.
Window and a blue Corvette, and everything is,
but fear not. We're here for some Star Wars positivity. It's the Star Wars Report Podcast. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Star Wars Report Podcast, the original Star Wars Podcast Network. So glad that you've decided to tune in to this particular episode. Welcome. Come on, come all. I'm Riley Blanton, your host for this evening, the founder and chief executive fun haver here at Star Wars Report. And I'm super, super excited about tonight's show. We've got a lot to talk about. More episode 7 rumors. That's the theme of the episode. And so we're going to talk a lot about that this week. But I'd like to bring on two of my favorite people in the world, starting with my sister, Bethany Blanton.
Hey, I'm glad to be on the show.
I should have brought up Mr. Cotter. Said, welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back. Where have you been?
Well, I do believe that I was on the last episode of the Star Wars Report.
I'm trying to remember
the
orders.
Perhaps I was on the one before. I don't recall.
I'm trying to remember, but we've been so busy with school. Insane. I'll get to that. We do have some stuff to say about that. But before we do, I'd like to bring him on, Mr. Mark Herleman.
Judge me by my color, do you?
So, Mark. So, are you blue?
No, I'm green, man. I'm green with envy of all the awesomeness that's coming out.
Oh my goodness.
Maybe I'm a little blue. I mean, as I get done with one book and then another book, and then another book, and I'm just like, are there more books? I want word. Give me word. I need light.
You're slowly catching up, and someday there will be no more in the release pipeline. No, and by the way, I love that. I remembered that song the other day, thinking about Iron Man 3 and that how they opened the movie. I love that. I love that movie and love that song too. But yeah, we mentioned it. We have been really busy in recent weeks just because of school. And that's one reason that we decided recently. A lot of listeners have pointed this out that we've been using a half hour format, which is pretty succinct and pretty slow. But it's been something that we've been just forced to do to keep. Keep episodes coming each week rather than just have to cancel them entirely. So, for instance, as I record this on Monday evening, November 4th.
In the year of our Lord, 2013.
Exactly. We have a gigantic psychology test tomorrow morning. And what am I doing? Studying the psychology of Star Wars fans in despair. That's what So where are you with episode 7, Bethany? You're in a unique position because you've been kind of disengaged because of the past couple weeks. I'm trying to remember which episodes you were on and this kind of shows how tired I am that I can't remember which ones you're on, but you haven't been on Twitter every day or anything like that. So you've kind of
I've led a relatively internet
On the scale of the traditional Bethany,
working in the Imperial Labs, huh?
Like on the scale of the traditional Bethany, who usually follows this stuff very closely, you're edging more towards like relatives of ours who will send us like the CNN or the BBC article of the huge news that we heard about a week ago, So you've probably kind of seen the more distant perspective on all of this stuff.
I've hit the major news, I haven't commentary on the news.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You haven't had an opportunity to comment on the aren't out. The aren't out. Is like, that's officially what we're calling it now, the aren't out.
That was mildly surprising to me, actually.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'm very glad that I just completely blanked. What were we talking about?
Lawrence Kasdan's probably who you're thinking of.
I really liked that Michael Arndt was on board because I like him script writer. I like his stories. I like his feel and his style. So I was excited to see what he could bring to Star Wars. Right now I'm wondering how much of Arndt's slowly dying soul, now that he's not a part of Star Wars anymore, how much of him is left in this script?
Well, they say that there are now treatments from Arndt, and you apply that with treatments from Lucas. And as I said on EUcast this month, you're going to have a cure here in a minute if we just get enough treatments. You know, I mean, we have the JJ treatment with
the Dan treatment.
Here in a moment, I think you know it's just going to be great. I mean, I'm curious what the treatment aspect is because it does kind of sound like disease ridden or something. Well, like, you know, you get these people that think, oh, this is a bad thing, and there's a part of me that kind of wonders that, like, why is Arndt out? But the other side of it is, okay, in the treatment aspect, they're not just going to throw away everything he did. So, you know, like you say, a part of him is going to remain. And I'm curious to see what that's going to end up being.
I think maybe in saying treatment, they might be giving themselves a way to use any ideas that he came up with, any of the stuff that he did as far as Star Wars goes. And that way, you know, they don't have to go in and clarify. If they say up front, well, we have these treatments from him, then the fans understand. Everybody understands that a part of this might be coming from the mind of Michael Arndt. However, I am very glad that Lawrence Kasdan is back on board because
he wasn't ever off in that he was serving as a consultant, you know, when they first announced it.
I should say back
on
board.
Arndt's going to get on the credits, though? Do you think like that'll because Arndt's out, he's not on the credits, or do you think they'll still give him credit?
I don't think they will.
I don't think they will.
No,
either.
I think really? The only person that they
I thought they would. I mean,
well,
you both think no.
Well, I think the only person who's going to get story credit is George Lucas, and I think he'll get story credit. But you know, beyond that,
who
knows?
You don't think they're going to start going the route of like Star Trek Deep Space Nine from the creative mind of George Lucas, or you know, from the creation of George Lucas, or from the universe of
based
George,
on
I mean,
character?
I don't know. I just based I on see him kind of maybe going that way.
Exactly. It's going to be like based on characters and situations inspired by the world created by George Lucas. I could see that being.
I mean, isn't that a Once a Time in Wonderland right now?
Exactly. Well, I think that you know what that. I think let's jump straight into it. We got some news this week. It just doesn't stop, folks. Straight from the Hollywood Reporter, they're reporting that there seems to be a little bit of conflict between the higher-ups, the big cheese, the CEO, the Bob Igers of the world of Disney, and the creative force that is Kathleen Kennedy and J.J. Abrams. And the Hollywood Reporter says, and they quote, according to those close to the project, producer Kathleen Kennedy and most of the film's creative team have asked Disney to push the release of Star Wars Episode 7 to 2016, but studio CEO Bob Iger is adamant that Episode 7, perhaps the franchise's most anticipated installment since 1999's Phantom Menace, its release date shall not budge. Yay! This has created enormous pressure on all involved, with director J.J. Abrams stepping in to take over the scripting duties. That was, of course, last week's news with Lawrence Kasdan, the guy who, you know, co-wrote Episode 5 and 6. So there it is. Now, I'll read some quotes and we'll kind of do it. That's just the original source. I'll tell you what, there's a great article that Forbes did called Will Disney Sacrifice Star Wars Films for Star Wars Toys? Which, you know, it's kind of the thing that people have always blamed Lucasfilm for doing, even before it was, you know, under the Disney umbrella, that it wasn't a creative force. It was just all about the money. Those rich, evil corporations. That evil corporate George Lucas doesn't care about the children. He just wants to... Why did I suddenly turn into, like, old lady...
I don't know.
Emma Thompson
I'll go the other route. You know, it's the corporations. All of a sudden, we had Luke Skywalker with two fists. Now he's got two fists, except for one fist is an open hand, so I gotta get that one. Now there's two open hands. He looks like Claw.
This
so
is
then
the New Jersey
the one with the fingers. He can hold the lightsaber. He can hold the blaster. And I gotta get him all. The greedy. They just keep. Oh, what's this? A color variation? Now you change the back car.
This sounds like
what the heck?
This sounds like a New Jersey Star Wars fan that needs to start a union.
Yeah.
So
I
like,
agree with
so
that.
New Jersey Star Wars fan, and you're starting a new Star Wars union. What are your demands?
Well, first I want to see lots of toys that are dedicated to actual articulation. I mean, look at the Halo branch. They got it down. Halo knows what to do. Let's see a Halo Vision. That'd be great.
Well, I mean, you obviously need nice toys, but like, what do you think? What are your demands for Star Wars Episode 7?
Oh well, lightsabers and lots of ships, guys. We gotta have lots of ships.
I think I've taken this too far. When did he become Gilbert Gottfried?
And then I said.
What do you want? I can't even do a Gilbert Gottfried impression. No, it's...
I am a huge fan of letting creative people work with their creations as they best see fit, with some oversight, yes, but that's you have them there to create their stuff. So
well, if but they here's want the thing. To put,
but the other side of that is, you know, Bob Iger didn't think that the Pirates of the Caribbean movies would be much of a success. He was a hard sell.
Really?
On that. Yeah. He was a hard sell on those. Uh-huh. And, you know, Johnny Depp, when he started playing the character of Captain Jack Sparrow,
well,
and decided to play it in the sort of drunken, slightly crazy manner, or perhaps completely crazy manner.
Yeah.
That was Johnny Depp's idea, and he pretty much had to say, you know, look, this is my thing, and I'm going to do this, or you're not getting me as an actor.
I'm Johnny Depp.
And so...
I'm going to play Jack Sparrow laugh.
Sometimes... So I
well, and see, here's the ultimate thing.
You're just distracting her with Johnny Depp impersonations, man. I'm on to you. Well, the thing I don't get is how are you sacrificing the films for the toys? Because typically the way the money trail goes, you get the films, you get better toys, and then when those toys run out, they put out a new film so you can get a new version of the toy. Like
it's a catchy
that part of that article just doesn't quite.
Well, it's the headline. It's a catchy headline. It kind of grabs your attention, which is what it's supposed to do. But I will say this about it: I'm just sitting here laughing because people say, "Man, you know what really made that original Star Wars great? It was the pressure on the creative talents. They were, you know, they had no budget, limited time and resources. There's no way they had so much pressure from thing. It just forces the good stuff to come to the top. And now that there's a time crunch and they've swapped out writers, everyone's, it's the end of the world.
Where's my EU panic? Enough time.
Where's my EU panic button when I need it? Oh well, I don't have it. With
well, you know, there's a part in the article where they go, but how long could Disney? How long can Disney maintain the allure of the Star Wars brand, especially one sans input from George Lucas? And, you know, it saddens me that so many put stock into George's input. I mean, as if other people couldn't tell a great Star Wars story. Riley, and you will be a testament to this, because I think Rest Thou Softly, which was a fanfic by Jedi Rita, was a dang good Star Wars story. And that's not even touching the many books out there that could easily work as a film as well as a novel.
Well,
I mean, you know, people just, they get so worried that George is or isn't involved that they forget that, you know, Star Wars has evolved beyond just George's world. I mean, remember a time when George said there was no story past episode 6, and now he's letting someone else tell it. So I mean, I'm not as worried as most people are, I guess.
Well, and I'm one of the biggest, you know, George Lucas apologists out there, and prequel defenders out there. But I will say this: I've always thought that Star Wars would survive George Lucas for sure, and I don't mean that in a negative way. I just mean like Star Wars is, you know, immortal. It will live on past its creator. And I think that's just the nature of a great story. So as much as I respect George Lucas, I don't think that that's necessarily a huge factor in it as well. But I mean, we've got Disney has a really crowded field for 2015. So I don't think if that decision were made, I don't think that would be a bad decision. I just think that it's kind of funny how, you know, people just worry a lot. There's a...
Well, I mean, I think realistically, if you're going to be pushing that movie back and still holding the deadline, the logical place to put it is December. I mean, I've been saying that from the start. I'd love to see it in April. It would be awesome to see it at Celebration. But I really think if time is a constraint and you still want to hit that Bob Iger mark of, no, it's got to be in 2015, December it is. I mean, put it right there at Christmas release, 24th, 25th, maybe in 26th. You don't have many more days left in the year. I mean, you push the border as far as you can. And well, I go back to that right now. You've got The Hobbit, Desolation of Smaug's about to come out. We just had that last year. I believe it's a trilogy. It's going to continue one more year. And then boom, bam, here comes Star Wars. I mean, what a perfect timing. You've already got the market is saturated. We're used to the Tolkien experience now. I mean, Lord of the Rings has been dominating the December market. Why not Star Wars? Star Wars put the summer market where it is on the map. I mean, it was like Star Wars set that in motion. Why not shift it and do something the same? You've already got all the Marvel movies lined up in May and stuff, already set up for summer. So just dominate the year around, and you can still give the, you know, JJ and all them the time they need and still hit the 2015 that Bob Iger's timing for.
Mm-hmm. I kind of agree in that it to me, it doesn't really matter exactly when they come out with the film, as long as the creative team is given that chance to make a good film of it. Well, I mean, like Riley said, people have alluded to, it is possible to make a good product in a short amount of time, but not if you have elaborately planned out a bunch of things in advance and you're on a specific schedule, and your schedule is running behind and you figure out through experience that you need more time. I mean, we are talking about experienced filmmakers, experienced script writers. We're talking about people who've been in the business a long time who are asking for more time. And that's not going to be a flippant request.
Well, and it's difficult to ask for more time as well, because you have books like Sword of the Jedi that are up in air, on hold, if you will, as they wait for what's going to happen with these films. Mm-hmm. And if you push that out, then you've got to say, well, you know, Random House, Del Rey, this is what we've got going on. And, you know, there are people waiting to get paid, people trying to work on projects and stuff. And, you know, yeah, now you've got this whole end of the EU that's closed off. You've got that fan market base that's worried, you know, oh, they're killing the EU off. There's no statements there coming out. And if you extend that EU fan paranoia is going to escalate.
Yeah, that's true.
I could definitely see that. And you know what? I think that, I don't know. In some ways, we freak out way too much. And in other ways, I kind of want to stop hearing people chide us for freaking out. We'll discuss that more in a moment. But first, let's hear a message from the folks over at the Wampa's Lair guys.
The Wampa's Lair podcast presents The Wampa's Lair Photo Contest. Get creative and help spread the word about The Wampa's Lair. Use your action figures, drawing skills, or even your friends. Prizes will be awarded to the funniest, most epic, and most Larian photo that captures the essence of the podcast categories. There will also be a Larian's Choice Award, where you can vote on your favorites, and winners will be announced on the first show of 2014. Rules. Each contestant can enter up to 3 photos. The words Wampa's Lair Podcast must appear in your photo. To enter, post photos on Facebook and tag the Wampa's Lair Facebook page, or post on Twitter to @WampasLair with the hashtag PhotoContest. All entries must be submitted by Thanksgiving, November 28, 2013, and Wampa's Lair business cards can be mailed to you upon request. So get started, and may the Force be with you.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back to the Star Wars Report podcast, and we continue talking about entitlement in Star Wars. As we will continue. No, actually, on the on that photo contest, I didn't submit a photo, but I had some fun with the guys when they announced that originally. And that's a pretty cool thing that they're running over there, over at their Facebook page.
I beg to differ, Riley. You did submit a photo.
But I mean, I'm
roundabout. You had their photo on your monitor in the background as you were plugging it. Sir, that's a photo for their contest.
Guilty! Guilty!
I thought it was brilliant. I was like, look at that. Riley is so slick.
Well, I don't think I'm technically eligible. but hey, head over to their Facebook page and give them a like. The Wampa's Lair guys are awesome, and they are always having really fun discussion podcasts. And that's kind of alludes to what I said at the beginning of the show. This is the original Star Wars podcast network. I was thinking about that the other day, because I mean, there have been, you know, we came from a Star Wars network of podcasts of sorts, but this is the first one where I really feel like covered the gamut of Star Wars. The only thing we always missed was a Clone Wars.
The Clone Wars.
All we need is a Rebels podcast.
It's gone.
Food for thought. Okay, but there's a great piece by Mike Ryan over at the Huffington Post, and it's called Stop Freaking Out About Star Wars, and I love the picture on it. It's the famous Han Solo shushing 3PO in The Empire Strikes Back. He's like, no!
Finger point.
No! I love it. I mean,
Harrison Ford does have that pointer finger right in your face, stern look.
Yes,
he's
he
got
does.
That down.
Who needs a lightsaber? I've got this button pusher right
But
here.
I think, well, and let me just quote from the article. Oh my god, the new Star Wars movie is going to be terrible!
insert Batman and Robin. Shut up, you!
And Riley explodes into fits of giggles and coughing.
Oh my goodness, that was a terrible idea. Oh, my goodness.
Are you going to be able to talk from now on out?
I'll be okay.
I just want to know where they come up with, there have been a lot of doom and gloom surrounding the development of episode 7 as of late. Where? Where is this doom and gloom? I'm happy. I'm excited. Riley, I think you're still happy and excited. Bethany, I'm pretty sure you're still excited.
I'm pretty
Who's
happy
and
excited.
Who's booming in here?
I don't know. I'm excited. I don't know. Are you excited, Bethany?
No. I'm excited.
Are you excited, Mark?
See, the thing is, I have been somewhat off the internet of late, so I could have missed any sort of negative fan reaction, but you guys have been more on the internet recently than I have. Have you noticed an overwhelming OMG reaction to anything Star Wars Episode 7 wise?
You know,
that I'm aware of.
Well, and see, I think
I just wonder if it's that whole aspect of, you know, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say nothing at all, and somebody's just freaking out because, oh my gosh, the internet's quiet, what's going on? They must all be really upset, because I am not seeing upset at posts. I mean, you know, yeah, there's trepidation. What does this mean? There's a lot of that. What does this mean? Ooh, mm-hmm. What does that mean? You know, I mean, but we don't even know, so it's really hard to say, it's going to be terrible. I really think if you're saying it's going to be terrible,
I'll
you
say this.
Obviously want it to be terrible.
Well, I mean, and again, this kind of goes to one thing, a big problem with the internet is often the fact that people say, well, the internet seems to be leaning this way. For instance, the writer's perspective of Mike Ryan at the Huffington Post, is his perspective is that everyone's freaking out about the Star Wars movie. Now, I don't think that's true, but it depends on who your follower I can speak, I promise. It depends on who you're following. That's what I was trying to say. Because, and I will be honest, from my perspective, people I followed, I do get a sense. And I'm just going to play, I hate to do this sometimes because there are plenty of great Star Wars podcasts, some of which I can and can't, you know, have time to listen to. But, like, of the ones I listen to, I'll just give my perspective on it. Like, I was listening to Rebel Force Radio cover this, the Arnt News, last week. And those guys are usually really, really excited. Jason Jimmy, and we've met them on a number of occasions, and they're always really super upbeat, positive guys. But they had some what I think are legitimate concerns about the upheaval of getting of throwing Arnt out. And in this, along the same line, the most recent episode of Geek Out Loud just released, and our great our all of our mutual friend Steve Glosson, who I forgot to text to do a Steve Star Wars minute, he was trepidatious as well, and I think that there, and he also expressed some, I think, legitimate concerns about it. Now, I don't think everyone's freaking out, but again, it's kind of a matter of perspective as to who you're following and what they have to say. And I think part of the comicbookmovie.com, you know, world of the internet is kind of hypersensitive to Star Wars news, and that's just because we've been waiting for so long. It's been over a year now.
The aspect that we like to overstate things as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, so yes, this has led to a million voices crying out in terror. Why are they messing up?
Let's do an experiment.
Like, I just think it's one of those things where, you know, we sensationalize things to a degree.
Sure.
I mean, I legitimately see the concerns that are being expressed, but I don't necessarily see that as, you know, why are they messing it up, or oh, they are, it's going to be terrible. I don't know. That I don't necessarily see. I mean, but I get what you're saying. You know, yeah, it depends on your feed, but, you know, if Rebel Force Radio, I wouldn't see them saying, oh, it's all being destroyed, but I could see them being trepidatious. You know, I could see them raising concerns, but that not being the same as shouting to the rooftops doom and gloom. Whereas this article kind of puts it out there like that's the case, but I don't really think that's an accurate statement of where fandom sits right now with this. I think we're all collectively holding our breath going, what next?
Well, and part of that too can be if someone's not inside the Star Wars fan community, or they don't inhabit fan communities much at all. They only follow the big news as it comes out and maybe some fan reactions. But if they aren't a part of the community, I think they might... they would see any kind of in-depth discussion or nitpicking of details, not even bad nitpicking, but, you know, I mean, Star Wars fans, they're really into Star Wars. They are going to pick apart every single detail in both good and bad ways. That doesn't mean that they are super terrified about it or they're terribly reacting to it. It just means they're Star Wars fans being Star Wars fans. And I think that might come across to people outside of the community as... in order for them to spend that much time on it, they must be terribly upset. Or in order to spend so much time talking about this one aspect, that must mean that they hate this aspect of it. If they don't express that they really love it, they must hate it.
Well, and the other thing is, you know, I'm sure a lot of these opinions come from forums, and, you know, you get a lot of like-minded individuals on forums. There are some forums I stopped dwelling at because, you know, the popular opinions were not opinions that I actually held of, you know, certain aspects of Star Wars. But true. I could see, you know, if one whole forum is really legitimately like, oh, they're messing this up, this is going to be terrible, and they're all just hating on all the news that comes out. And, you know, the reporter goes to this place, says, well, okay, I'm going here, and this is the general, you know, feeling I'm getting from most of the posters is this is a bad thing. I could see that if that was the case. You know, and like Riley said, you know, it depends on who your feeds and who you're following are. I mean, my fandom associates, my community out there has not been really freaking out. It's been just, like I said, the what next moment.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough. And I think that's the good point about all of this, is that we do have differing opinions and there is some trepidation out there. I think that's true, but I think a lot of that's just the sheer amount of time. I think just some official press releases from Lucasfilm that don't have to do with changes or something, but even if it was just like, oh, look, we are in the process of, you know, building models, or, oh, we announced that we're going to be filming at these locations, or, you know, just some, mm-hmm. some tidbits of news that are just positive, the boom, your PR problem solved. You can call me anytime, Lucasfilm. That one's free of charge. Free, you're welcome on that one.
Well, and I think that Star Wars fans understand that we can follow this movie so much more closely than we can follow the other movies.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's great. I'm really looking forward to that. And you know who's really set the stage for how to do movie production and relate to the fan base? That's Peter Jackson with The Hobbit definitely. Video Diaries. And that's the kind of intense fan interaction that you need to have at the top level. And I'm not sure J.J. Abrams has the personality or the leadership style, so to speak, that someone like Peter Jackson does.
He might, but he has a philosophy.
I don't see him like producing video blogs from the set for fans. I mean, that's what Peter Jackson's doing with The Hobbit, and it's brilliant. I mean, those things get bajillions of hits and views and get shared all over. And sure, some people criticize this and that about them, but the majority of the impression is good. So, like, if we get set videos during production to the fans, it's just like J.J. Abrams is like, here you go, this is what we're doing. I think that would go, you know, that would make a huge step in becoming more positive.
I agree with that. But I do think that, again, your typical fan who has learned to follow movies pretty closely like this has learned that they're going to see all of the ups and downs. And folks, that includes the downs.
Yeah.
The making of movies has always been a very scrambling-like process. You're on a tight deadline. It's Hollywood.
Especially now.
Yes. And so I think that fans have come to learn that. They've come to expect that. I'm not sure that traditional journalists have, though.
Hear that, Mike Ryan? Hey, we want to thank Big Bad Toy Store for sponsoring this episode of the Star Wars Report. Hey, head over to StarWarsReport.com/toys, and you can find a huge selection of Star Wars memorabilia, toys, you name it. They've got Batman figures, they've got Marvel figures, DC, they've got every kind of collectible you could possibly imagine or want, including, I mentioned it, they've got some of the 12-inch scale original Kenner figures, which is really cool. I mean, some of those vintage stuff, if you're a collector, that's exactly what you want to go for. So head over to StarWarsReport.com/toys and do your shopping right through that link. There's also a banner on the website in the show notes of each of our episodes. Whatever's convenient, we thank them for sponsoring this episode of the Star Wars Report podcast.
You know, that leads me, Riley. I want to see a Riley Bothan figure. You know, one where it's got your classic arms underneath the armpit pose, except for one hand a data slicer, the other one a miniature spy droid. Come on, can't you see that?
If someone did fan art of me as a Bothan, I would faint with happiness. Thanks again for listening to this episode of the Star Wars Report podcast. Good times being had by all. Hey, contact us. Interact with us. We want you to go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/StarWarsReport. Tweet us up on Twitter. It's @StarWarsReport on the Twitter. And we always appreciate your iTunes reviews. Head over to StarWarsReport.com /iTunes. And we really appreciate those reviews. They really help with the rankings and spreading the word about this here podcast. We thank you so much for doing so. Also, leave us a voicemail. We want to hear your thoughts. Our number is 858-859-0SWR. You can leave us a voicemail with your thoughts. Please keep those brief and to the point so that we can knock in as many as we can. But also, we really welcome any feedback. If you want to comment on whether or not you're blue. Are you blue? I think that's the takeaway question from this week. Is it, are you blue?
Sacré bleu!
Let us know. Give us a call, 858-859-0SWR. And we also want you to sign up for our mailing list. I have not been sending out as much in recent months, but whenever something big is happening here at Star Wars Report, we will let you know. And the best way to be sure that you get it is by signing up with your email address on our mailing list, and that's at starwarsreport.com/mailing list. That does it for this episode of the Star Wars Report. See you guys next week, and remember, many Bothans died to bring you this podcast.
That's right, Whistler. Be sure to head over to Star Wars Beyond the Films Facebook page and like it to find out more about how you can get some free Star Wars hardcover books.
Ooh. Oh, I should have jumped in on that one, Mark. I'm sorry I didn't know you guys were doing a giveaway.
I forgot all about it. he's such a good droid.
Hey, for those that, if you guys stuck past the credits, I know it's a small percentage. Hey, you're the special ones. So do so. Do so now. All right, we'll see you guys next week.